Good morning. Thanks for joining us for church again today. I'm pretty excited out here today in the chapel, and we've had some work being done just to get electricity and lights and things down here to the chapel for our start back together. And I am looking forward to that. So this Sunday we'll have church online, which you're joining us for now, the 28th. Then we'll have next Sunday the 5th. And then the 12th of July, we look forward to sitting here with you. That'll be great. And God willing, those plans will all fall into place and we'll be joining here together to worship. I want to read to you these words from Philippians chapter 4, and I'm reading from the Message translation. Just some encouraging words for you. So celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. So don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. And God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. I trust that you'll have a great morning this morning as we worship together.
Let me refresh my memory. This morning we're going to commence by praising our God and Saviour. When Paul addressed the people in Athens, he reminded his hearers that in God we live, we move, we have our being. God is our life. He is our strength. He is our hope. Join with us as we praise our God and Saviour this morning.
I'd like to ask you to join me in a time of prayer this morning. As we pray, I'd invite you to pray your own prayers. Father God, we praise your name. You are an awesome God, way beyond what we can ever comprehend. Your love for us is higher than the heavens. Please pray your own prayers of praise. God, we are sorry for the things that we do that do not honour you, for the words, the actions, and the thoughts that displease you. God, we say sorry. Please forgive us. Would you make your own confessions before God now? Thank you, God, for your never-ending love and for your goodness to us. We can never thank you enough. What would you like to thank God for? I invite you to thank him now. And Lord, you tell us to ask and we will receive. Seek and we will find. Knock and the door will be opened to us. I ask that you hear the prayers of my friends today as they bring their needs to you. Lord, you know our hearts and you know the prayers of each person who is listening to this today. We know that you are faithful to hear and to answer our prayers, and we thank you so much. Ask your Heavenly Father for what you need today. Bring your prayers to him as we finish this time of prayer today. Finally, I would ask you to join with us as the junior soldiers lead us in the words of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us for our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever and ever.
Ever and ever, amen.
Forever and ever, amen.
Forever and ever, amen.
Forever and ever, amen.
Amen.
Hello everybody, welcome to Kids Time this week. So this week we've had no birthdays, but we have lost a tooth. So Sophie lost a tooth this week, so that's really exciting. And also last week, Kids Zone started back up. So last week we had all the kids here, and we had an awesome time, so stick around for the end of Kids Time to see some photos of that. This Sunday, however, we aren't meeting at the church with the kids, but there is a Kids Zone video that has been sent to you. If you don't have that video, just let us know and we'll send it through. So this week in Kids Zone, we are going to be talking about Joshua and the walls of Jericho and how God uses music and our talents to do his will. So if you want to hear that story, head on over to Kids Zone. See you there. Bye.
What's your news, Kira?
I have three tooth.
What's your news?
Just wanted to tell you a couple of things that are happening here. And as you can see, some of the things that are happening, which I think Karen has already mentioned, is that we are preparing for a time when we will meet back together. On the 12th of July is the time that we are looking forward to being to gathering together as believers. As it says in Hebrews, do not neglect, brothers and sisters, the habit of gathering together. So I know many of you are looking forward to that. And so we are making ready. We've got some holes that we've dug here, some cable that has gone through so that we can have a good experience for you for when you come. But let me remind you again, when you do come, of all the regulations that the requirements that will be in place when we come, about social distancing, about the fact that we won't be able to meet beforehand or afterwards, gathering groups for morning tea or any of those things that we did enjoy in the past. At this stage, we'll be meeting together at worship, for worship, either up on the deck or down here in the chapel, with social distancing, with facilities for cleaning your hands. We'll also actually have to have requirements where we need to record that you've been here, that you've been on our site. But I'm sure that we'll be able to manage all those things and still meet together to worship, because we want to worship. We want to meet. We want to pray. We want to sing together. We want to share the love that we have for each other and for God with each other. And I know you want to do that too. Let me tell you about a couple of the other things that are still happening while we are here. Just let me be careful and don't fall over as I come down. And a special thank you to Gary at the moment, who is walking backwards as we speak. So if the camera suddenly flies up to the sky, you'll know that Gary's had a tumble. So we are still having our community dinner here on Tuesday nights. We are meeting up here for takeaways. And some people are now taking the opportunity to sit down in a number up to 20 for the tables and chairs that have been put out. So if you feel like you want to come down and have a chat with those people, and if there's room at the tables for up to 20, then come down, grab a takeaway and eat in, I guess. Eat in and take away. We are still having our Connect site every day, but we're going to change that too soon, go back to our normal Connect twice a week option for longer time, so people have the chance to come and spend some time and connect, you know, in a real way. Chance to sit down and have a real connection space. So Junior Soldiers and Sunday School started back last week, which was also fantastic. We had 10 children here plus the leaders, and that was a really great time that they shared together. So things are starting to happen again. Just Men has been back for a few weeks, and again we had 10 men together on Tuesday night, and we had a great time sharing with each other about you know, our hopes, our dreams, and a little bit about how we're feeling about this current time. Because I know in the community, in the spaces that are around, people have mixed feelings. They're looking forward to getting back out amongst it, but they're also a little bit anxious. And I think, as Karen said before, that when we have these feelings of anxiety, we need to tell God about them and pray about them. Rather than to be anxious about anything, we should pray about everything. Prayer is really important at this time. So the other thing I want to talk to you about is giving. We haven't really talked much about giving, and as we haven't been able to get together and haven't been able to gather, some of you may have missed the opportunity to give. But giving is a really important thing that we need to continue. It's a really important spiritual discipline. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you might remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Don't feel like you're being asked to give, that you're obliged to give, but God loves a cheerful giver. And God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And I encourage you to go and read that for yourself, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because Paul goes on to explain some of the other benefits for you as a giver. And we are a generous church, and I've spoken about this before. We have wrapping up our self-denial numbers at the moment. Over $22,000 has been given to help the Salvation Army's work in countries overseas, who are struggling in severe ways, especially with COVID affecting them so dramatically. We've had, for our Red Shield appeal, for our community reaching out to the community to help us with that. We've had around about 4,000 or 5,000 given, which is a little bit down on what we have previously, but we will put that money to good use. But I also want to encourage you to give. So think about that as we watch this slide now, which talks about how you can give, the our bank details, if that's easier for you to give. And then after that, there's just a time of reflection to think about how giving impacts you, how giving makes a difference in people's lives. Thanks.
Reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 9 verses 10 through 20, and it follows on Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. I'm reading from the International Version. I like that. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming from here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen.
Everyone, join with us as we sing one of the well-known hymns of Fanny Crosby.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Yeah.
Good morning, folk. This morning we're talking about hope. It's something which has always been talked about. Seems to be a word which is being used an awful lot more at present because of the virus shutdown things. And people are looking beyond what happens after this, what comes next. And the word hope, the politicians like to use and the doctors like to use, everyone's talking about hope. A couple of weeks ago, James shared with us two themes which I thought were important, and obviously that's why he shared them with us. He said, we have a future, we have a hope. And he reiterated those two points a number of times. And there's a sense in which what he was saying prompted me to continue to pursue these ideas which had already been in what I thought the Lord was pointing me towards. We have a future. We have a hope. And there's a sense in which I want to take them a bit further. Of course, we know that hope is something a bit more than wishful thinking. Yeah, it's more than wishing that on July the 12th, it'll be not too cold, not too windy when we finally meet outside for our first time together. That's wishful thinking more than anything else. But our hope is about something that is, I think, it's God's future. God's future and our hope. Those two things fit together. And this morning, it's how those two things come together that I want to share with you. Over the years, of course, I've thought much about this word hope and have shared a few messages about it as well over time. It seems to me there are three components to this thing we call hope. The first one is, it's definitely something about the future. It looks forward. It is not just about the now, but it's got that future, that forward-looking dimension. The second thing about hope, which is moves it a step further along that path, is hope actually anticipates what that future will be. There's an expectation that what I hope for will actually happen. I think that's demonstrated in that one of those speeches of Martin Luther King, where he said, I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the promised land. It's more than just a hope. He could see there was that expectation. Of course, he'd go on to say, we've still got a ways to go. And today, we'd probably still say, we've got a ways to go. But it was there and it was happening. And the third element that makes up hope, as I see it, is we should be involved in trying to make that hope come about. If we say we've got a hope, then there should be some commitment on our part to achieve what it is we hope for. I remember when I visited my daughter in Sydney in 2001, she talked every now and then about her hope that we would deal with environmental issues and tidy things up and all that sort of thing. And today, of course, in almost all supermarkets across Australia, you won't find these sort of shopping bags anymore, will you? They've gone. I'm not sure that it's law as yet in New South Wales, although it is everywhere else. But in 2001, when I went shopping with Melinda, she took her own carry bags with her. She wasn't having those things cluttering up the environment. She had a hope, sure, but she wanted to do something and make a difference about it there and then. During the week, this slide came up on a message for me. And again, it makes the same point. If you want a tidy sewing room, you've got to do something about it. Doesn't matter how much we hope for a tidy sewing room or something else, unless there's some action that backs up that hope, it'll never happen. The other thing about hope is sometimes it can be quite elusive. And I want us to pay attention to this particular aspect of it, Because sometimes we pin our hopes on something and say that's the way it's got to be. When we moved to Sydney in 2001, moving from this climate, subtropical, to the temperate climate of Sydney, I wanted to plant daffodils in my garden, which I did. And that first winter, yeah, there was only half a dozen bulbs went in, and I got some daffodil blooms. My daughter said, "That's a good idea. I'll do the same next year." So come the early part of 2002, she prepared the garden out front of her home and planted jonquil bulbs. And her hope and her plan, her desire, was come spring, there would be this beautiful display of jonquils that she and everyone else could enjoy. Well, come August, that did happen. I don't have the actual photo of that garden, but yes, this beautiful bloom of jonquils was there out front of her place. But Belinda didn't see them. We often sing a song about, I have a home in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And that hope that Melinda had, she enjoyed before she got to see the jonquils. Sometimes hopes need to be adjusted and rearranged. We were reading about Paul, Kay shared with us earlier, and his being in Damascus. We go back to his before he got there. Have you thought about what Paul was hoping for when he left Jerusalem? We know the story in general terms, but he was passionate about defending his religion, his belief in the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nothing else mattered more to him than that believing in the one true God should be the priority. And that was so strong a conviction for him that he was doing something about it, putting that hope into action. And so he headed off to Damascus to do a bit there about removing these troublemakers who were preaching about Jesus. Then we have this encounter that he had with Jesus, and in our reading this morning, Ananias sent to visit Paul. Paul discovered a whole new hope at that point in time. And as we consider that, we can discover that our future is something that God has in mind. In the musical spirit that John Gowans wrote, he put into the mouth of Ananias a prophecy about the future for Paul. So when Ananias came to Paul to heal his sight, he didn't say, well, he did say, "Brother Paul," which an incredible welcome. But he didn't say, "Welcome to our fellowship, Brother Paul. We're a very friendly group. You will enjoy being part of this fellowship. We worship Jesus. We love God. And it's a real privilege for us to be followers of Jesus. And you'll fit right in. And as a follower of Jesus, he's going to bless you in every way possible in every day which lies ahead." Ananias's words weren't quite like that, and there's a hint of them in the verses that Kay read to us. And the words that John Gowans put into the mouth of Ananias go something like this: "I can see a future, a long, long, long future. I can see a future God's planned for you. There's grief and there's glory, but God's in this story, the story he wants to come true. There'll be hardship, there'll be pain, there'll be exposure to wind and rain. You will be broken and left for dead. Dark is the path you are called to tread, but..." And in our English sentences, the prepositions and the conjunctions, they're critical to really making a point. And so Ananias paints this picture of the hardships Paul is going to have in his future. But God will guard you and bring you through. You will accomplish his plans for you, helping, healing, and winning men to their God again. What a powerful image we have. Yes, we have a future. It is God's future. Yes, we have a hope. Our hope is in God. When we come to concluding our time this morning, I want you to ponder what God's Spirit is saying to you. That will be a very personal thing, because the Spirit speaks to us each individually according to our individual needs and God's love and care for us. But there might be three different ways he might speak to you this morning. One might be with reassurance. No matter what is happening, you are loved by God. He has a future for you. It's his future, and he will bless you, and he will walk with you each step of life's way. Maybe it's a message of realignment. There hasn't always been the consistency for you between what you say you hope for and your attitudes and the things you do day by day. It's not intentional, but things just go along, as it were. And you forget, yeah, I've got some other future that's the ultimate. And we need to realign and make sure those things line up with each other. And perhaps the Spirit might be saying to some a message of redirection. As he said to Paul, yeah, the hope you had when you left Jerusalem no longer applies. I've got a new hope for you, a new direction. And maybe God has a new direction for you. Listen to his Spirit as he speaks to you this day. When we come to our final song, again, in the midst of it, there's this but word again. And I just want to emphasize that before we move on to the song. It's a relatively well-known song. It's a paraphrase of Psalm 23. The storm may roar around me. There are things that are happening around about us. The storms of life, circumstances, things that just don't fit together well. That's part of life. My heart may low be laid. Sometimes there are doubts. There's depression. There are things that really get us down. But then there's the but word. But God is round about me. Let's allow God to speak as we worship him and open our hearts to his message to us this morning in this final song. May God bless you each.
My heart shall feel. I'd like to leave with you the benediction for today, which is taken from Romans chapter 15, verses 13 and 6. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy in believing, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. May the Lord bless you each.